to our daily life. For example, like today, I'm going to share with you the power of our God. And everybody likes to experience that, right? You know, that's the reason that, you know, wherever people know this miracle happens someplace, that Catholic people, they will just, you know, just go and see what's happening. And sometimes make that place a shrine or something, right? You know, we all like to experience God's presence and God's power in our life. And we have a wrong understanding that God don't do that very often. On the contrary, God's presence always be with us. And God willing to show his might in our daily life. And why we didn't experience that? Okay, through today's message, I want to share with you how can we re-experience one more time the God's presence, God's power in our life. Let's turn to the Bible, to Joshua. Okay, let's turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 21 to 24. I'm going to use Joshua and Exodus, just a couple of passages from these two books, to share with you how can we, you know, re-experience God's power in our life again and again and again. Here is about an account of the crossing over of River Jordan by God's people. All right? Let's read from verse 21 to 24. Joshua, book chapter 4, verse 21. He said to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants... ask their father, what does this stone mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did it to Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did it so that all the people of earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. See, God is asking his people do something special when they are across the River of Jordan. Do you remember all the detail? And this passage, this few verses is telling us He is willing to do this so that everybody, all the people would know God is powerful. Let's look into the detail of this crossing of River Jordan. Turn a little bit forward to chapter 3. Okay? Turn to chapter 3. If you read from verse 1 of chapter 3, you will know that, you know, how they crossed the river. They asked the priest, carrying the ark to go first, right? And those priests carrying the ark to go, and they step their foot into the water, and the water stopped flowing, and then began dry out, right? And by doing that, I want to bring to your attention on verse 4. This is something that God wants to teach them when God asked them to do this. Verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. God is guiding God's people to do something new, something you had never done before. You know, so we are facing the unknown. We are facing some challenge ahead that we don't know how to handle it. That is the situation the people a lot of time are facing before they cross the River Jordan. But this is not the first time the God's people experience God's might, power, and those miraculous help, right? From that passage we just read, we know that God is reminding them, your forefather passing the Red Sea. And now you just want to re-experience one more time God's miraculous help by crossing the river. Which one is difficult? Crossing a sea or cross a river? Right? You can tell that this is no big deal. If God can make the Red Sea divided and people can walk through the Red Sea, there's nothing impossible here. The reason God wants to ask people to do that is for them to really know the meaning of God's help in our daily life. So this is something new. I don't know what kind of change you are facing. You are going to a new school, you're going to have a new job, or you're going to have baby, okay? You're going to have something new happen in your life, something you don't expect, and especially for something you don't know how to do it before. And now we are asking for God's help. God is not asking us, or God is not going to tell us what's going to happen in the future. God wants us to go back, to remember in the past whatever God has done in our life in the past. By knowing our past, by recounting God's doing in the past, then we have the strength to face the future, to face the unknown. Whatever God has done for us in the past will repeat. Because God is powerful. God is not just powerful. God is willing to help us with His might. And you have to believe that. You know, our God is a living God. He not just live in that Israel, in the people of Israel. He lives among us. He lives forever. He wants to help everybody. Why we didn't experience God's help and God's power? Because we forget about that experience. And God wants to use that to remind us one more time why God did that in our life. Before He could do something good, do something miraculous in our life again, before He do that, He wants us to remember the meaning of why God's going to do that. And so, if you look at this verse, chapter 3, you just continue to read through chapter 4. Look at verse 2 of chapter 4. Book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 2. The people was asked to choose 12 men from 12 tribes. And those 12 men will pick a stone, each one will pick a stone, and they're going to make an altar after they cross the river, and they put a stone there. What's that for? So they can remember, this is the proof. Hey, this stone is not ordinary stone. This stone are the stone we pick from the bottom of that river of Jordan. And so that stone stands for what? Stand for God's deliverance of our people from the enemy. It's a miracle. So you can remember that. You know, have we done this before? I don't know. Now, we will buy something to, for example, like in your wedding anniversary or whatever, you're going to buy something and so you can, you know, remind us to remember that special date, right? I remember once my past church, it's just as us right now, a long history of the church history. So I think that church is about at least 40, 50 years old, okay? And also we got about more than a dozen of the fellowship group in that church. I remember one time in our anniversary, we have a special service. And we picked 12 fellowship groups, and we asked each fellowship group to pick a stone too, okay? We pick not a round type, it's a square type of stone so we can build on top of it like that. So we have 12 fellowship group. Each of them dedicate a stone in that anniversary service. And when they dedicate that stone, they write all the good things that God has done among them on that stone. And during the service, we're going to give a prayer of thanksgiving, And we will share those memories, share all those good testimony about what had done in our group. So after 12 fellowship groups share their testimony, and immediately after service, everybody of the church, we go outside to the entries of that our building, and then we set it up, and we build it right there. We put those 12 stones together and make it like an altar, you know what I mean? Like a monument, okay? And this is our anniversary service. This is how we memorize God's doing in this church. Same thing here. When I'm crossing the river Jordan, what's important is not about how God performed all those details, how God did the miracle. To God, everything is easy. The most important thing is for us, God's people, when you've been through that experience, what have you learned from that? And God here wants His people to remember this is a unique experience you cannot forget. So that they want people to build the altar, you know, pick 12 stones and put it together. Why? Why this time God make it so special? Because their forefather, when God helped them, when they are crossing the Red Sea, they forget about all the might that God had done on them, right? And they become rebellious again, and they worship the idol. So they had to wander in the wilderness and not able to enter into the promised land. You know, the problem of us not having the God's power in our life, not because God is not willing to do that, because we keep forgetting about the grace of God. And God reserved His presence. He's waiting for us to repent, waiting for us to recount and remember what God has done for us, so that we can be good enough to stand before God and then experience His power one more time. So let's learn from the past. This time, Jewish people are doing all right. They are crossing the river Jordan. They follow the instruction to every detail. Okay? The priests carry the ark. The priests stay on the water, put their feet on the water first. The water stop. And everybody cross the river. And they enter into the promised land. Wherever they go, they build a stone altar to remember this is God's leading. This is God's doing. This time, they did it right. But last time, they didn't do it right. Now look at the Exodus event. Okay, let's turn to the book of Exodus. Now look at chapter 13. Can you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 2? And let's see why God this time wants to ask them to do this, because their forefather didn't catch it, didn't get a lesson. Why God wants to show His power in His people? For three reasons. Chapter 13, I want to show you three reasons why God would help His people with His mind. Verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. Let me read for you. Okay. Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offering of every womb among the Israelites belong to me, whether man or animal. It means what? I bring my people out of Egypt. It's for you to be set apart. Belong to me. You are a people, belong to me. If you want to experience God's power has a meaning. He only shows his power among His people. We have to know we are a covenant people of God. The reason we pray and God answers our prayer, because we are His children. So you have to be a born again Christian first. We are set aside. Why God go through all this trouble, bring His people out of Egypt? away from the hands of Pharaoh and to the promised land. Because they want them to be out of that secular world to into a promised land so they can worship our God in a godly way. You cannot be a wicked person and wish God's mind to help us. To help us to fulfill our wicked wishes. No way. God will show His power to help us to achieve something is pleasing to God. Okay, this is the first thing. Second, let's read from verse 22 of this chapter 13. Look at that Exodus events. During all the time, all the period of time, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night led His place in front of the people. So God's leading His people with the pillar of cloud by day and with the pillar of fire during the night. Which means God never leave His people alone. He's always with us. When we trust ourselves in the hands of God, when we confess our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Jesus is with us and never going to leave us. He's always with us. So God's power is always with us. Remember this? It's nothing special. God will never, like waiting for some special occasion to show you His presence and power. No. He promised to be with His people. And He will with us. We can claim that power just because we are His chosen people. Number three, if you look at chapter 14, can you turn to Exodus 14? Let's read from verse 13. And again, verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptian you see today, you will never see again." You mean those Egyptians after them, they will be vanished. And look at verse 18. "Actually, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh. By defeating the Pharaoh and Egyptian army, God showed His glory, not just among His people, also among Gentiles." So that is the number three reason God is going to show His power in His people, so that people will glorify God. So this is three reasons. If you're going to experience God's power, I'm telling you, this is three reasons. First of all, God's power will only manifest in His people. You have to be a chosen people. Secondly, there is a promise. God's presence with you. You don't have to doubt it. God will always be with you. However, the reason God is going to show His power is to glorify His name. For the glory of our Lord. Okay, what happened then? Egyptians were after Israel. Israel was, they were chased after those Egyptians. And then they are facing the Red Sea. And miraculously, God open, divided the Red Sea, and God's people, experience that miracle. And not too long after that, they forget about it. They forget about everything about wonderful thing God has done for them. And they start following their servant, their slave, to worship idol, and they complain about, it's a better life in Egypt than here in the wilderness. So they sing again. They forget all the things that God has done for them. That is the reason they couldn't re-experience God's power in their life. So I don't know, where are you right now? Are you right now still in Egypt? You haven't put your trust in Jesus. You are not born again yet. You are not a Christian. So how can you experience God's power? You say, Pastor Ian, I want to pray for God to help with my change right now. If you are not Christian, I will ask you to pray that, make that first prayer of repentance first. You need to become a Christian first, so that whatever God's going doing, your eye will seize it. And then, I don't know where are you right now. Maybe you are right now in the, just like Israel people, you are in Exodus experience. You just experienced something wonderful. You know, something wonderful happened in your life. And you know, oh, God's blessing on me. Wow, that's good for you. But maybe you are right now in the wilderness. You know, in the past, you have that experience, that wonderful experience of God's leading, God's help. But right now, you kind of got lost right now. You don't know where is my God. You know, I come to church every Sunday. You know, I open my Bible, I read my Bible, but I couldn't sense God's presence on a daily basis. Where is my God? Maybe you're asking that question. So we are right now exciting, waiting to experience God's help one more time. Just like those Israel people, they are eager to cross the river Jordan right now. And God said, okay, since I lead you all the way until today, don't worry, I will lead you tomorrow into tomorrow, same thing. However, before we do that, before we cross the river Jordan, this is the instructions. This time, I want to make you understand and remember God's might by setting up a stone monument. You know what I mean? We have to change our attitude. We cannot take it for granted. Every time we need help, we come to God, we pray, and God help us. And then we forget about it. Then we fall back into a sinful situation. And then after suffering, after a while, then we are facing a difficulty one more time. And you come to God and say, God help us. And you say, you have to help me because you promised me. I am your chosen people. But you didn't show any repentance. You know, again and again and again, God help us. But again and again and again, we forget about what God has done for us. And God's not going to repeat that. God will continue to help us, but He's going to make it right by helping us to be able to recount whatever God has done in our life. You know what I mean? That's the reason God this time asked people, when you cross River Jordan, remember to pick up those stones and build it a monument so you can remember me. So it's a change of attitude. You know, God's attribute will never change. God's might and power, and He will continue to be a mighty God. He will continue to show His power. There's no reservation there. God's promise is for sure. I'm going to be with my people, with my chosen people, always. I will lead you. I'm not going to leave you. And I will help you in every challenge you're going to face. Otherwise, God won't deliver us from that Egypt, that sinful situation. So, we have to change our attitude. We have to change our mindset before we can receive one more time God's help in our life. And how can we change that? You know, I show you in my note another passage from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's a classical passage about repentance, about receiving revival one more time. And I'm not going to get into the detail. I just like to let you know what it teaches us is we need to repent of our sins. We have to turn away from our wicked way. And so that when we pray, God is going to show His mercy upon us one more time, and He will forgive our sins, and He will heal this land. And everything will be done if that people who make the outcry to God is a Christian. If you are called to be people in my name, then I will do this, 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 this. So I don't know, where are you right now, spiritually speaking? You know, are you facing any new changes in your career, some difficulty in your life, or something you're going to do? For example, like our church, you know, we're going to, maybe you already know, among us, only pray for us, we're going to build two congregations, right? We're going to build an English congregation and build a Mandarin-speaking congregation. Wow, this is something we haven't done before, right? This is something new to us. And so we don't have a prior experience how to do it. But don't worry about that. This is a secret for our Victorian Christian life. Is, you know, we are different from other people because we know God will be with us. So whenever we are facing unknown, facing the future, we don't like other people are checking around, asking people for help. We Christian, we turn back and we look to the history. We look to the past. We look how God has done in our life in the past. Likewise, for the same reason, God is going to help us in the future. This is the secret of a victorious Christian life. Because we are not depends on our own might, our own strength. We are put our trust in the Lord. And we are depend on our God's might to help us to overcome all the obstacles in the future. Why is that? Because we are all called to live a life in according to His will. Nobody, if you are a Christian, we are not living with our own might. We couldn't choose our life. Maybe you think, I choose to be a doctor, I choose to be an engineer, I'm choosing to get married with this person. I choose my a lot of daily decision. But no, it doesn't matter what you do. God's will prevail. God has set a path for us. God has something already set for us. However, that something is wonderful. God has a wonderful plan for every one of us' life. It's our job to find it out. What's God's will? What's God's direction leading our life? And then we be obedient and follow His will. So by doing that, it's all God's doing, you know. We Christians just have to rest in peace, put our trust in God, and God will take care of everything. Well, let God be God. You know, let us be His people. Are you really believe this God? What kind of God do you believe in? Is this a God of the book of Joshua? Is this a God that have brought His people out of Egypt? Or your God that you are worshiping right now is a small God? You know, only happen, that God only exists on Sunday morning in the church. No. I know every one of us, we put our trust in a God that created this world. And all our life depends on Him. So this God is a powerful God. This God has everything in control. So why are we doing everything with our own strengths and put ourselves in all kinds of worry, trouble, and uneasiness? Instead, we should trust this God is a powerful God, and that we trust Him to guide us in each step of our life. Not just in our life, in ministry, same thing. So this is something that we can learn from today's passage. I don't know where is your situation right now, but it's never too difficult for God to do something wonderful in our life. And I believe the reason we are here today, you must have experienced something wonderful in the past, God's blessing in the past. Just try to remember that and see how God, you know, when we are still small faith and He did something wonderful, and when we're facing something bigger challenge, don't worry. God will, at the same thing, God will help us because there's nothing too difficult for him to accomplish for us. But every time you can expect God to make us, you know, just like ask people to pick up stone from the river and to set an altar in their life, God will ask us to do that too. Like every time we experience something, we have a scar in our body or something, you know. And so every time we look at that scar, remember, oh, that time I got sick or whatever happened to me, you know. But eventually God, you know, helped me. Something like that. Are you willing to be obedient to God's leading? Put your whole life, trust your whole life in His hand. Let Him be your real God in your daily life. You want to follow His will. You want to find out His will and be obedient to His will. If you are willing to do that, you're going to experience God's might every day in your life. That I promise you. Because this is a promise from our mighty God. And this is something that only we can enjoy. And that's what Bible says. The very first reason He chose His people, so that His people can be set free from the bondage of this world, from the bondage of this sin, and can worship God with a spirit. And I hoped that we will continue to experience that, not just in your personal life, also in our church ministry. All right? Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for bringing us together. This group of people is so special group. We have many different kind of needs. And somehow we look at our needs, it's so difficult to meet all those needs with our limited resource. But we know that since this is your will, you put us together, this must be a wonderful reason behind it. Father, we rather trust ourselves in you. We trust that you give us a vision. It's a vision from you that we're going to build an English congregation and build a Mandarin congregation from this group of people. Doesn't matter how difficult it looks like, but we know it is from you. If this is the leading from you, then you will help us. You will make it happen. And we just want to trust in you and be obedient to you. And we will walk each steps by your power. And I just pray for those people that also are experiencing maybe some challenge in their life, in their school, that God, you're going to remind them, God loves them so much. God will never let us be alone in our difficulty. You will be with us. We just need to repent. We just need to trust in you and pray to you and outcry to you. And you will show your power in our life. And then I pray that every one of us will experience that so that we can continue to grow spiritually into a day that we can glorify your name with our life. We pray and thank in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to have Pastor Jean to come up.